Ace is the place with the helpful hardware, folks.
It's Ace's biggest LED light bulb sale of the year. Right now, buy one, get one free on our best-selling LED light bulbs. Our 4-pack of LED bulbs is $9.99, and our 2-pack of LED floodlights is only $12.99. Buy one, get one free. There's no limit on how much you can save, so stock up now. Hurry in. Buy one, get one free on long-lasting 10-year LED bulbs, now through Monday, only at your neighborhood Ace. See participating stores for details.
You are Locked On Timberwolves, your daily podcast on the Minnesota Timberwolves, part of the Locked On Podcast Network.
Welcome, 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 ladies and gentlemen, to another Locked On Wolves podcast, part of the Locked On Podcast Network. I'm here with a whole crew of people. We've got Brendan Scarborough from Northwestern here in St. Paul. He is the broadcaster extraordinaire over there for them, does all kinds of sports. Brendan, tell us a little bit about yourself, what kind of sports you like to cover, what kind of sports you like to watch in your free time.
Hey, how's it going, Colton? Here at Northwestern, I've covered everything from men's and women's basketball to baseball, softball. I did volleyball. I do kind of jack-of-all-trades type of a guy. Favorite thing to watch would have to be football and basketball. Those to me are the most exciting, and it's exciting that we're hopping right back into football season. Can't wait for that to start up.
Absolutely, and the NBA is right around the corner. And then here in studio with me, Sam, you are fresh off of the fourth preseason game for the Vikings. Probably the best preseason game you can watch as far as football.
I think it was the gold standard. Yeah, I think you've got the 72 Dolphins, the 85 Bears, and then you've got what we saw last night at US Bank Stadium. It was the Dolphins. Speaking of Miami, the Dolphins winning 30-9 in probably the most scintillating football game we've seen in these parts since the Purple People Eaters.
Well, that bodes well for the rest of the season. So going right into NBA news here. First of all, Kyrie Irving finally gets to Boston. They get through all the murky trading waters that they had to go through, adding another draft pick, a second rounder in 2020, to get him into Boston. Brendan, was it worth all of this just to get that second round pick for the Cavaliers?
It's so much. I would say for the Cavaliers, yes. I don't like going into a season with a player in the locker room that doesn't want to be there, and that's the bottom line. Kyrie did not want to be there, and he was looking for a way out anyways. And the Cavs got quite a bit for him. The Cavs got a lot for Kyrie, and I would say it was worth it. I would say so. What do you guys think?
Sam, I'm going to let you take that one real quick. Do you think that they overpaid for Kyrie?
I think when you have assets in the NBA and you feel like the time is right to win a title, you cash in the assets. Assets are currency. And at some point, you can't just hoard your money. You got to buy something nice with it. Well, Boston bought something nice. And I think they feel like, I'm sure, that not only are they strengthening their title chances for this season, but they are weakening their chief competition. So in that sense, I think it's okay to overpay because nobody's going to care if you win a title. So you do what you can to get the guy that you want, cash in your assets, and just let the chips fall where they may. They can't say they left every stone unturned.
Well, and the thing you've got to remember, two things you've got to remember if you're a Boston fan or an NBA fan watching this go down. First of all, if this blows up in their face, they still have three really young guys in Marcus Smart, Jason Tatum, and Jaylen Brown, or at least two in Jaylen Brown and Jason Tatum, who are going to be really good young guys who they're going to have for a while. And they have next year, they have a really good pick that they got from the Lakers that I think the Lakers got from Memphis that should be a pretty solid pick, probably a top 10 pick. So it's not like they're really shooting themselves in the legs. They're not going to have young guys or draft picks anymore. So they still have a future to build on while they're making the present team really good. And that's what they've been doing the last couple of years. And so that's why this is probably, when Boston's making moves like this, this is one of those rare situations where they don't have to give up enough that it hurts their future. So that's what I really liked about the Kyrie trade for Boston, and they were able to get Hayward to put together with Al Horford and some of the young pieces. So this is a really good Boston team, and they're just continually building for the 2018 season and for the 2020 season, etc. They're keep building for the future, and they're really good right now. Brendan, I did want to ask you, so if you're the Lakers and you're tampering, you should probably get the guy, right, if you're going to get the tampering charges. Obviously, the news broke that they were contacting Paul George a little early, and they got caught with their hand in the cookie jar a little bit, but they didn't get anything for it. That's a weird scenario, right?
Yeah, that is a little bit of a weird scenario. And I think they're jumping the gun a little bit with this Paul George thing, but they're not going to lose any sleep over $500,000. When you're Magic Johnson and Rob Pelinka, you're not losing any sleep over a little slap on the wrist. Hey, don't do that type of a thing. Like, yes, they got in trouble for it, but they're not really concerned about this small fine that they're going to get dealt. But yes, they should. You generally end up, hopefully, if you get your hand caught in the cookie jar, you get something out of it, right? But it doesn't seem more not so much in this case.
Well, and it seems particularly strange with this situation, specifically because I think the consensus is Paul George is going to the Lakers, right? I mean, you guys are in the sports world as much as I am. There's nothing to make us think that he's going anywhere else, right?
Sam, I'll let you go ahead first.
I think that when there's a city like LA just waiting for a superstar to recapture the imagination of that city that was owned by Kobe Bryant for two decades, and they did great things. They won five titles, and now they're waiting for that new savior to come in. You know, when great basketball cities have sort of voids, those can be filled so easily. Like when Boston had that major void, and then the Ray Allen, Paul Pierce, Kevin Garnett trio, you know, banded together and won a title. They are legends in that city. You know, even though their tenure there was 4 or 5 years in their prime, they own that city. They could go back and be heroes for life. And I think that's a tantalizing possibility for, you know, a fringe superstar in this league like Paul George to go to a city and bring it back to relevance. And I think that's exactly the kind of thing that there's a few players, I think, that have that on their minds. Maybe LeBron James, maybe Russell Westbrook someday. I think that LA is sort of this kingdom waiting to be conquered, and Paul George is probably the number one option to go there and sort of capture that crown.
Anything you want to add to that, Brennan?
Yeah, and I would say another great thing for the Lakers, at least, is the cap space. If you want to bring in someone, as you said, like a fringe star player like Paul George, you have the money to do it. One of the reasons why the Cavaliers couldn't get anyone this year and this offseason is because they didn't have any money to do so. But the Lakers, sitting there with a lot of good-looking young players who could make an immediate impact and who have been playing well over the past few years. I'm thinking Brandon Ingram, and coming up this season is Lonzo Ball. They're looking, as you said, for that star player, for that one, for that leader who not only has experience, who's an all-star, who can lead this team. And you're right. Like, I think the NBA is just so much better when teams like the Boston Celtics and the LA Lakers are good. It just makes everything so much more interesting. And I think, to answer your question, Colton, I don't see him going anywhere else. There's no reason for him to go anywhere else. This makes the most sense.
Well, the Lakers, too, with the young guys they have, not only do they have upside for the future, but they're also incredibly easy to pair with anybody that comes in. So whether you have a LeBron James or a Paul George coming in, when you have a guy like Lonzo Ball who can pass incredibly well and has really good court vision, and another young guy, Brandon Ingram, who is one of those stretch three, stretch four kind of guys who can kind of fit anywhere just because his shot puts him anywhere offensively, and he's long enough to do a lot of things defensively. Those are really easy pieces to pair with a lot of guys. So if you are a superstar looking to go to LA, there's a spot for you no matter what you do, because those young guys can kind of tailor to fit a bunch of different guys come in. So they do have a really good situation, and I do think that you see over the next couple seasons a lot of big name guys headed that way because of that. And so now I want to get to the topic I brought you all in here for. I wanted to talk a little bit about blue chip players in the NBA, and I want to get into that. But first, I want to talk about a blue chip way to buy and sell tickets. So buying and selling tickets for sports or concerts can be complicated. It can be, Brennan, but there's a better way, a simpler way to buy with SeatGeek. SeatGeek is the smartest, easiest way to get tickets to live events. With SeatGeek's seamless mobile experience, you can buy and sell tickets in just two taps. SeatGeek helps you find the best seats at the best prices, fully guaranteed. There's nothing quite like seeing your favorite team or musician in person, and SeatGeek will get you closer to the action for a great value. SeatGeek saves you time and money by searching multiple ticket sites to compare prices and find amazing deals. Brennan, you and I are broke college students. How badly do we need an amazing deal on our tickets?
Pretty. It's bad. It's bad. I need SeatGeek like nothing else right now. So.
And we are just fully sold out to trying to go to any sporting event we can. I know we're always trying to find tickets to go to Gopher games, go to Timberwolves games, go to Twins games. So anytime we can find a deal, we're already there. We're sold on the idea.
Yep, all in.
And for our listeners, there's an even better deal out there, because if you use the LOMBA code when you're purchasing your tickets, you get $20 off your first purchase. So you get a great deal and $20 off of that. There's no reason you shouldn't have SeatGeek. So go out, download the SeatGeek app. I use it. I have it on my phone. Best part of having a smartphone is having the SeatGeek app. So now, blue chip players. So first of all, when I was defining, I have an article on zone coverage. Everybody should go out, read zone coverage. There's a ton of great Gopher content out there and Vikings content out there with the games that happened this week. But also go out there for Timberwolves content. And I wrote an article on blue chip players. I was trying to define what a blue chip player is. And kind of the pieces, the aspects that I had was they're really good, a really solid two-way player. They can really play well when they're off the ball, when they're controlling the pace of the game. They can do a lot of things for both sides of the ball. They command a lot in free agency. They're going to be worth a lot of assets, or they're going to command the max value. They're going to be able to, it doesn't mean they take it necessarily. Obviously, we see a bunch of players who go for a smaller deal and then try and get other players to come in. You see that with Kevin Durant this year, who I would consider a blue chip player. He took a smaller contract to keep that nucleus of four on the Warriors, but they can command that kind of deal. And they make the talent around them better. They're not only being a great player on a great roster, but they can be a really great player on maybe a B or C roster and elevate those guys around them. So that's kind of what I had defining blue chip players. Now, I know you have thought about this a lot, Brennan. We're always talking NBA. What do you think a blue chip player? Do you have anything to add to that description as far as what they should look like?
Yeah. They have to have, in my mind, as you were saying, either high potential, or they have to have high value right now. So maybe there is a player who isn't quite proven yet, like Alonzo Ball, who isn't quite proven yet, but he could technically be a blue chip player because there's a lot of potential. As we saw in the Summer League, there's a lot of potential for Alonzo Ball in this league. I agree with everything that you have on there. Looks really good. Someone who's able to contribute in multiple ways, I would say, as well, and someone who, they don't have to be the face of the franchise, but they have to be an all-around contributor. I think that's another thing that you have on here that makes a lot of sense and definitely is needed in today's NBA.
So I wanted to burn through my list of blue-chip players in the NBA right now. Just quickly before we dive into the list, I have Kristaps Porzingis, John Wall, Anthony Davis, Stephen Curry, Karl-Anthony Towns, James Harden, Russell Westbrook, Kawhi Leonard, Kevin Durant, and LeBron James are my blue chip players, and I listed Blake Griffin as an honorable mention. Right off the bat, I think that younger guys like Karl-Anthony Towns, Kristaps Porzingis, those guys I would count as blue chip players because you already see NBA franchise building around them. They can do a ton of things, just so versatile on both sides of the floor. Obviously, Porzingis, he won the skills challenge last All-Star break, and he was playing against guys like Isaiah Thomas, guys, point guards who are used to being the ball handler, and Kristaps Porzingis is definitely very comfortable in that role. Same with Karl-Anthony Towns. He's fine with creating his own shot, with taking shots off the catch and shoot. He can take shots all over the floor. He's going to be, he's not a great defender right now, but I think he's going to develop into a really good defender. He's got the size for it for sure. And then I also have guys on there like a Russell Westbrook who are just kind of athletic freaks. So you kind of see the range of players. Obviously, the guys kind of near the top of the list, the LeBron James, Kevin Durant, Kawhi Leonard, those guys are going to be able to really lead a franchise and guide them to heavy win seasons. But right off the bat, is there somebody you would add? Is there somebody you would take off the list? Tell me where I'm wrong, Brennan.
I was going to ask you guys, would you say that Draymond Green could be a blue chip player just because of how much impact that he has on both sides of the ball?
What do you think, Sam? Is Draymond Green a blue chip player?
I would go with a different warrior. I'd go with Klay Thompson. I think Klay Thompson is more of a two-way threat. I think that when you watch what he did Game 6, Western Finals 2016, that's the stuff of legend. That's the stuff of, I'm going to take over a game, I'm going to keep the season alive, and I've seen what he can do when he's playing his best. And he is a force on both ends of the floor. I think Klay Thompson's the type of guy that someday, and if Golden State disbands, I think Thompson could go somewhere else, command 20-plus million per year, and become a foundational piece. I really do. He's got that kind of potential, and we may not even know his potential because of how much he's having to share with Durant and Green and Curry. I would also add Giannis Antetokounmpo. I think Giannis, as of going into his fifth year with Milwaukee, averaging almost 23 a game, the length, the defensive prowess with that lankiness. I want to see him improve his three-point shooting, but I'd consider Giannis a two-way threat. And if that's one of the big criteria, I think he deserves to be on the list as well.
Yeah, part of the problem, first of all, I want to get back to Giannis, but part of the problem with the Warriors just trying to grade them is that it's really hard because you've got a guy like Draymond who I think he could probably average 20 points a game, but it's really hard when you have four guys that good and sure, that caliber of player to judge where they could be. One of the things I did, and I spent a lot of time on this article, it was really tough trying to narrow it down to these guys and why I didn't have some guys on this list, why I put some guys on it. But I think why I left guys like Klay Thompson, Draymond Green off of the list is because there was just points at the season where I knew that if I put Steph Curry on a team like the Kings or the 76ers, every game he was going to make them a little bit better. And there were some points in the season where it's just Klay Thompson disappeared for a little bit, Draymond Green disappeared for a little bit. But Kevin Durant, Stephen Curry, I put those on a really bad team, and every night they're at least putting up 25, 30 points, and they're making the guys around them a little bit better. And when you're talking about Giannis too, I feel like he's still developing so many parts of his game. Like Karl-Anthony Towns, he's a really good offensive player right now. But Giannis, if you look at the numbers the last couple of years, he's just developing that offensive threat that he is. And I think he could probably be in the next couple of years a blue chipper. But right now, I'm not sure if he's that blue chip status yet. But I think he's a fringe guy for sure. What do you think about Giannis and some of those guys who are maybe red chip status who might be moving towards blue chip status, Brennan?
Yeah, I would totally agree. Would you guys consider Gordon Hayward? Would you consider Gordon Hayward to be moving toward blue chip status? So I'm thinking he too is probably on that fringe of, he's very valuable, but maybe right now he's not, you know, he doesn't have the highest stock in his value right now. Would you guys agree with Gordon Hayward being maybe a red chipper?
I think I'd like to hear what you have to say about the same, but I think I would put Kyrie Irving as a blue chipper before Gordon Hayward. What do you think?
I think that his profile is certainly not as high because of where he was playing. I think Utah gets kind of lost in the shuffle. They play late games. They're not in a very sexy division. They play the Timberwolves a lot and the Nuggets. But I mean, he's a star. He plays better defense than people even credit for. I mean, the way he locked down Andrew Wiggins at times last year showed me what kind of defensive player he is. He's a willing sharer of the ball. He rebounds a little bit. I think he's probably not blue chip yet. I think he's getting close. I think he's better than Andrew Wiggins. And I think that we know how good Andrew Wiggins is because we watch him every night. We know his potential. I think Hayward is better than that. I don't think he's Kawhi Leonard, but I think he's probably in between and probably rising and ascending. He's only 26 years old. I think with what he can do with the talent around him in Boston, he may morph into that blue chip player, especially now that he has to pick up some of that load that's left by Isaiah Thompson. Obviously, he and Kyrie will have to figure out how they're going to work together offensively. But, I mean, I think now with a greater number of eyeballs on him in Boston, I think we're going to soon sort of change and elevate our opinion of Gordon Hayward.
Well, that's the thing with both of these guys, too, with Hayward and with Irving. With Irving, you just had a huge trade go down where Boston gave up a ton of assets to acquire him. And then Hayward, they paid him a ton of money. So now if both of these guys for the next 2 years have really, really good seasons, they could potentially move into that blue chip status as well, because now they're kind of proving, all right, I had some really good seasons. I've got the production. You paid a lot for me. And now I'm backing up with better production after that payday. Now, or after you made the big trade for me, now they start to maybe bump up into blue chip status. And that's the other thing too, is that I have James Harden on the list. I don't have Kyrie on the list. And Kyrie at times is just as good of an offensive player as James Harden, I would say. But I think the difference there, again, is James Harden, you saw the assists go up this year, you saw the rebounds go up this year, and there's just so many games throughout the entire season where, and maybe it's because Kyrie didn't have the chance because LeBron's taken over a bunch of games as well, but James Harden takes over the game in the fourth quarter. He's getting to the free throw line. He's driving to the basket and getting really tough layups or hitting really deep threes to win games. And so when you're winning that many games for your franchise, and you're doing a bunch of other stuff, you're getting better at making players around you better. I think he made Eric Gordon a better player this year. And so that makes him a blue chip player. That, with the huge contract, just kind of affirms that, yep, you deserve to be one of the top tier players in basketball. And so that's kind of when I'm gauging players that are really close like that. Chris Paul's another guy who I didn't have on the list. If I'm gauging blue chip players, I think you have to be good for the next 2 years. And Chris Paul has just so much wear on the tires. I don't know if he can be good for the next 2 years. I think he was a blue chip player who's now, because of age, maybe fallen into red chip status. So there are a couple of those guys too that are older who have maybe they're not fallen off yet, but they aren't worth a max contract because you know that is coming right around the corner. And so looking at the top tier guys, if you have to take one of those guys, you have LeBron James, Kawhi Leonard, and Kevin Durant, I think would be those top three guys of the blue chippers. Which one of those guys do you take? Because LeBron, obviously, he's the best player in the world. I don't think there's any doubt in that. But he is older. Kevin Durant is the kind of offensive juggernaut, and Kawhi Leonard is the defensive beast. So for you guys, which one of those guys, if you're starting a franchise, do you want to have on your team?
Sam, I'll let you go first.
Well, thank you. I think I would go with Kevin Durant. I think Kawhi is maybe a little bit better defender, but Kevin Durant is one of those just nasty finishers. I think he's, even in the past 3-4 years, he's developed this mentality that he doesn't care what people think, doesn't care about his reputation in the league. He's okay kind of being a bad boy. He's okay doing whatever it takes to win, even if it means teaming up with his team's biggest rival. He is such a cold-blooded finisher, though, with that pull-up jumper late in games. I'm not sure there's anybody I trust more. I think I trust Kevin Durant more than LeBron James at the end of a game. He's got this freaky body that he plays like a guard, but he's got forward size and these long arms, and he can really defend if he wants to, I think. Kevin Durant might have the most unique skill set I've ever seen in the NBA, because he's not prototypical in his size. You know, he's kind of a hybrid in what he can do, but how big he is. And I'm curious, who would have more trade value if put on the open market, Kevin Durant or LeBron James, just based on the age part? I'm not sure LeBron has the greatest trade value anymore, just because of the tread on his tires. I think he's going to play until he's almost 40. That being said, I'm not sure that I think teams might fork over a whole lot more for one of those younger superstars.
I do love as well, you mentioned that he's kind of embracing being the bad guy. Did you see the new Nike shoes where it's the red velvet cupcake coloration on the shoes? I do love that Nike and Kevin Durant are just embracing the cupcake that that the Thunder meant to be an insult. Now they're just embracing and going the total other way, especially after the ring. That's easier. But I think you're right. I think Kevin Durant may be more valuable in free agency. And I think he's also more valuable just because he's not looking to run the team. I think he's coming in. He's shown that he can come in. He can play with other superstars. LeBron did that with Dwayne Wade, but Dwayne Wade was the guy who took the step back and let LeBron take more of the front seat and drive that car that was the Miami Heat. And LeBron's going to try and coach more, whereas Kevin Durant just wants to play and be a really good offensive player. What do you think, Brendan? Do you think that Kevin Durant might have more open market value or LeBron James still?
I would say as of right now, I would definitely agree with Kevin Durant, only because Kevin Durant, as you guys were saying, like, there's just so much to his offensive game that, and it's not that LeBron is lacking. It's that just, they're different. They're very different. And as right now in today's game, Kevin Durant fits better. Another thing, it was interesting. I was talking to somebody about this a couple months ago. In the end of games, and Sam, you were saying this, Kevin Durant is a cold-blooded killer. I don't know if we've necessarily seen that from LeBron. I don't know if we've necessarily seen there's 3 seconds left and I'm going to pull up and hit this three right in the face of a defender. And that's what's going to happen. I don't know if we've necessarily seen that from LeBron. I've seen LeBron take over games. But when it comes to that cold-blooded mentality that Kobe Bryant had, that Michael Jordan had before him, I don't know if right now offensively LeBron has that. Like, defensively, I would say no doubt I would take LeBron over Kevin Durant. But right now, it hurts to say this. Colton, you know it hurts me to say this. But I think Kevin Durant right now would have more trade value in the open market.
You are the LeBron James apologist. And does that mean you're taking Kevin Durant as the man you're starting your franchise with?
I would not take him. I would not start a franchise with him. Another thing, it depends who the coach is. If you have a Tyronn Lue type coach that LeBron's going to walk all over and not have any respect, then I'm going to take Kevin Durant, or I would take Kawhi Leonard over that. But if I have a Popovich, who someone that LeBron has a very high regard for and someone that LeBron is not going to talk over in practice, I would take LeBron James just because his coaching, he wouldn't supersede the head coach, but it's still a lot of experience. There's a lot of things that he can help out younger players with. When LeBron takes someone under his wing, he definitely elevates his game. And that's one thing I think LeBron does better than Kevin, is that he elevates the game of everyone around him. People that play with LeBron aren't going to be overshadowed by his playing style. So there's a lot of factors that go into it, but I think I would take LeBron over Kevin Durant in the open market. If I was starting a franchise, I would take LeBron over Kevin Durant.
And one last thing I wanted to hit on before we leave today was point guards. I have Westbrook, John Wall, Stephen Curry. Do those guys represent kind of the three ways to play point guard? And in the last couple of years, the league has been flooded with a ton of good point guards. Is the point guard position getting easier to get just solid players where you don't have to spend the money? Or do you still want to go out and find one of those really, really good point guards as opposed to trying to find maybe a wing or maybe just a really elite center that can do everything, kind of like a Carl Anthony Towns? So do you think that this is the three ways to play point guard? The super physical with Westbrook, the shooter with Curry, and kind of the crazy offensive transition guy with John Wall. And do you think that the point guard position is losing value?
I think it's losing value because it's so good. I think because you've got so many good point guards in this league, and you barely scratch the surface here with all the good point guards, because you've named the blue chippers here, but I think just below that, you've got a lot of red chips. I mean, you've got Damian Lillard. You mentioned Chris Paul. I mean, I can't even
Kyle Lowry.
I can't even think through all of the quality Kyrie Irving, all the quality point guards that are in this league. So when you have 12 guys that are all magnificent basketball players, makes them all a little less valuable because you don't have a top tier. I mean, you've got sort of a large grouping of these elite point guards. And then, you know, even a guy like Ricky Rubio, who's got every intangible in the books, he's probably a bottom 12 point guard in the league, honestly, even though he can do so many things well. That's how good the position is. So I think it is being devalued. And I think the Wolves kind of tried to capitalize on that by getting a guy in Jeff Teague, who, you know, he, based on where the cap situation is in the NBA, came a little cheaper than some of these other guys, but is still a pretty good player and can still, I think, fit in their system and sort of take a back seat to the Wiggins and the Towns and the Butlers and not demand quite as much ball, you know, on ball time as Harden or Curry or Westbrook. But I think you've identified the top tier well. I think that's a pretty nice top three.
What say you, Brennan?
I would say I would agree with Sam. There's no longer the elite few point guards that are just so amazing. Like, it's you either have them or you don't. And it's like, oh, well, I got this guy who's maybe not so great. There's a lot of teams with pretty darn good point guards. Every year we see who got snubbed from the All-Stars, and we're just, our minds are blown. Like, we can't even fit them all into the All-Star game. That's how darn good these guys are. I would say that it might be, it's losing value, but it's also changing. Point guards now, I'm seeing that, like how you were saying with Russell Westbrook and John Wall, and even Stephen Curry, these point guards are very athletic. Even Damian Lillard. These are point guards who John Wall can throw down like he's a slam dunk contest champion. He's so freakishly fast. And Colton, we've talked about this. Sometimes John Wall's dribbling cannot keep up with how fast he can run. He's having to maneuver on the fly. And I would just say just the position is changing. It's and that's how basketball goes. It's ever evolving. It's hard to say it's losing value because all these players are so good, but the old point guard position that we used to know and used to see only a few years ago, I would say it's, yes, that in that aspect, yes, it's losing value.
When you bring up Jeff Teague, Kyle Lowry, Sam, those guys almost deserve a category of their own because they're so good at playing off ball at the point guard position. You think back to the 60-win team of the Atlanta Hawks, and he was on a team with Kyle Korver and Paul Millsap and DeMar Carroll and Al Horford, and he was able to find his shots, but then there'd be weak stretches where he was just letting everybody else have the ball, and those guys, not only could they take their own shot, they could create their own shot, so he didn't necessarily have to have the ball to be a big contributor. Same with Kyle Lowry, where DeMar DeRozan is doing a lot of the dribbling on that team, but he's fine with the catch and shoot, with working his way around screens to get open, to be free on the outside, or to work his way towards the basket and be ready for the kind of the pass down low to throw it up when there's bigs being drawn away elsewhere. So those guys can do a lot of things off the ball, and I think that's why, and that's a conversation that we've had a lot here in the studio, is why Jeff Teague is a good fit for the Timberwolves, is because he's not necessarily going to have to take the ball away from Jimmy Butler all the time to be good. And so I think you guys are right. That's just the versatility you see at the point guard spot. There's so many good point guards that can do so many different things that just the variations at that position are almost endless now. And it really is turning into, I think Brad Stevens is right, where you're going to see over the next 10 years, it really is turning into those three positions where you can either handle the ball, you can be a wing, or you can be a big man. And then right now we're kind of seeing a lot of transition pieces because we're moving towards where there's less spots, you know, on the roster. And so that makes the point guard position incredibly hard to judge because it's hard to put 20 guys and say, okay, these are the best guys when there's 20 of them.
Well, and then you've got the positionless basketball thing where you have big guys that can handle the ball and you've got wings that can post up. I mean, imagine if when LeBron James says, I'm going to play point guard on this possession, he becomes the best point guard in the league because you can't stop him in the pick and roll. When he plays point LeBron, or when Draymond Green says, I'm going to play point, or Kevin Durant says, I'm going to play point, even Carl Anthony Towns at some point last year, he can handle the ball. It's really hard to stop because of just the way people are interchangeable in today's game. So, I mean, that's another reason why it's maybe losing value, is because you have other people that can step in and play that position on select plays, and you can put the point guard off the ball, and they can still be effective too. So positionless basketball is changing the way people are viewed and people are valued.
Well, and you go the other way too, and there was plenty of times during the finals where Kevin Durant was the five, and he can go and shoot a deep, deep three. I mean, how's your center supposed to handle that? Or even if you have a four playing center, how's that guy supposed to handle the range that Kevin Durant has when he's at the five spot? So the versatility is just going to be something that constantly messes with how we value players and positions, and it's going to end up being you just got to value what the player can do as opposed to what position you need filled as on your team. And I think that's where you move towards for NBA teams and NBA organizations. Anything else you guys wanted to add?
No, that's you guys wrapped it up really nicely. I think that's all good.
All right, well, thank you very much, Brennan, for joining us on the phone. Sam in studio with me. I am your host, Colt Molesky. After another Locked On Wolves podcast, as always, part of the Locked On Podcast Network.
You are Locked On Timberwolves, your daily Minnesota Timberwolves podcast, part of the Locked On Podcast Network.
Ace is the place with the helpful hardware, folks.
It's Ace's biggest LED light bulb sale of the year. Right now, buy one, get one free on our best-selling LED light bulbs. Our four-pack of LED bulbs is $9.99, and our two-pack of LED floodlights is only $12.99. Buy one, get one free. There's no limit on how much you can save, so stock up now. Hurry in. Buy one, get one free on long-lasting 10-year LED bulbs, now through Monday, only at your neighborhood Ace. See participating stores for details.